Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Christopher Wray just earned himself a subpoena. What did he do? Well, it's actually maybe the most horrifying thing yet. We'll talk about that. Sarah Gonzalez is here. Liz Wheeler is here. We are going to have so much fun tonight on I'm Right. What's the scariest thing happening in America today? You already know if you watch the show regularly, but what's the scariest thing? It's what's happening within the walls of the FBI for two different reasons. I say that all the time, but for two different reasons. One, the power they have. They have the power to destroy your life, my life. I didn't do anything wrong. They have been caught planting evidence on people who didn't do anything wrong forever. If they wanted to right now, they could lock you up for years in prison. The power they have to destroy your life and the history of the world. The history of the world says that secret state police agencies who have their weapons pointed at their own citizens working on behalf of one political party have committed more murders than anything else. Mao never killed a single person once he took power. Neither did Stalin. Hitler didn't either. Their secret police agencies did. And now we find out of all the things the FBI has done, and there are many, now we find out, one, they are in fact the majority in some of these patriot groups out there. Our friend Julie Kelly is reporting that they outnumbered the actual Proud Boys 2-1, feds did. But two, and this is more important, this is what earned Christopher Wray a subpoena from Congress. They have plans to infiltrate the Catholic Church, develop sources within the church. How long have I been telling you that the church has been made, is being made into an enemy of the state? And if you follow that to its logical conclusion, I told you they were coming for your church, didn't I? I've told you it for the longest time. And before I introduce Congressman Mike Johnson, we're going to ask him about the subpoena and everything else. I just want to remind you, when the government, when the law enforcement and intelligence apparatus aims itself at something, it can hurt that something badly. It aimed itself at the Soviet Union once and collapsed an empire. It aimed itself at Islamic terrorism and killed I don't know how many across the world. The entire intelligence and law enforcement apparatus of the United States of America is now aimed at the political right. You sit and think about that. Let's talk to the congressman about it. Joining me now, Vice Chair of the House Republican Caucus, Congressman Mike Johnson, one of the good ones from the great state of Louisiana. Congressman, okay, well, what Christopher Wray just did earned him a subpoena. What did he do? What is the FBI doing with Catholics?
It's unbelievable. You can't make this stuff up, but the more we dig, the more really shocking information that we find. What happened in this case, the latest abuse that we've uncovered, is that FBI officials really did hatch a plan to develop new sources among Catholic clergy and church leadership to report on Americans practicing their faith. They effectively wanted to recruit undercover agents inside these churches to monitor and report on parishioners. You cannot make this stuff up. It's outrageous.
Okay, Congressman, now please correct me if I speak out of turn here, because I don't want to give out false information, but if we have uncovered, or I should say if you have uncovered, that they're trying to do this, or were trying to do this, I have to reasonably assume they're already doing this, that this is something that's already done. Is the FBI in my church?
That's a great question. That is one of the reasons we had to subpoena the director of the FBI himself, Christopher Wray. We know that this plan was hatched. It was first reported in January. We know this because whistleblowers inside the FBI revealed it to us. We have the documents. So this is not conjecture. It's not a theory we have. This actually happened. We began asking for information about it immediately upon our receipt of that information in February. We had to ask again in March. The FBI has been reluctant to turn over the documents, probably for obvious reasons. When they did, they sent us 18 pages that were heavily redacted. What we do know from that, from those documents, though, is that, listen to this, it gets better. This plan was specifically approved by multiple levels of FBI supervisors in the Richmond field office, and even one of the top lawyers there. We know also that the document was circulated among all field offices around the country. So we have to get down to the to answer that question that you just asked. Is this actually happening right now, or did we catch it soon enough?
Congressman, I know you know all the details about the school board moms and all, everything else. So it sure sounds like we have a secret police agency in the United States of America. I don't think that's too over the top to say. And when you look at history, that's a pretty frightening thing to happen within our borders. What can we do about it? When Christopher Wray comes and sits before you and says, well, I can't comment on that. Well, you know, I can't comment on that. What's the next step? Because there has to be something.
There has to be, right. You're exactly right. Listen, it shows a blatant disregard for our most fundamental freedoms as Americans, those freedoms that are protected by the Constitution. And this is a pattern at the FBI under this Department of Justice. This isn't just a one-off, as you noted. We have many files that we've developed and investigations going on right now. And it shows that there's this blatant disregard among the people at the top. And so what we have to do is get accountability. We have an oversight responsibility under the Constitution. We have limited authority, of course. We only have the majority in one House of Congress, but we're going to use every tool in our arsenal to get down to the bottom of this. Number one, to investigate, show the facts to the American people. Number two, to institute reforms to ensure these abuses can never happen again. And then thirdly, of course, we have the power of the purse. And so it may come down to some funding decisions about some of the priorities of the FBI and big projects they want to institute. If they cannot respect the basic tenets of the Constitution, they do not deserve the treasure of American taxpayers, and that's the bottom line.
Is that something the Republican Party has the will for? I'm not worried about you, but there's a lot of Republicans. That majority isn't that big. Do they have the will to do what needs to be done when it comes to the purse?
This is the ultimate tool that we have, right? We're just the House of Representatives. We don't have the ability to indict people or arrest them or put them on trial. Mm-hmm. What we can do is put them on trial in the court of public opinion and then use that really important power that we have. We have a responsibility to do that. So I think that there will be widespread support when we get to the end of these investigations and we put together the solutions. There must be accountability. The American people demand it, and they should. They're owed that. If we don't make an example of some of these folks, these kinds of abuses will happen again. And as you were alluding to earlier, this is a step towards tyranny. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing, and it is not who we are as Americans.
Yeah, let's hope it's not who we are. All right, Alvin Bragg, New York. I know you don't have jurisdiction there. Can anything be done about these Soros prosecutors and these ridiculous things that they're doing in this country?
I'll tell you where we do have jurisdiction, and a very clear and important responsibility is to ensure that federal funding is not being used for these political charades. Alvin Bragg has abused his office, obviously. He made getting Trump one of his planks of his platform when he ran for the office, and Soros funded him to get him there. They identified the defendant before they even and he had an alleged crime. So the whole thing is an abusive process. What we have to make sure is that the federal funding that goes to his office was not used on this, and that's what we're investigating. In fact, I'll let you in on this. We're going Monday to Lower Manhattan. We're going to have a field hearing for the House Judiciary Committee in Alvin Bragg's backyard to draw the American people's attention to the abuses, where he turns his face away from the prosecution of violent crime, downgrades felonies. Over 52% of the felonies in his jurisdiction have been downgraded to misdemeanors, but they use the office for a political ploy to go after Donald Trump and try to upgrade misdemeanors alleged against him. It is absolutely incredible, and we're going to get the victims of all that violent crime to testify on the record so the American people can see what's happening there.
Good. I like it. Congressman, thank you for giving us a few minutes. Go get them.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Liz Wheeler's going to join us next. You know she's always got some stuff to say. Before we get to Liz, let's talk about the dollar and the debt. Now, I know it's boring. Look, I'm already bored. The dollar and the debt, who wants to talk about that? But we're over $30 trillion in debt. It's heading to 50 with interest rates climbing, meaning the interest on the debt is going to gobble up the entire GDP at some point. You thought about that? You know that the dollar's days are numbered. Not going to be tomorrow, but they're numbered. Do you have gold? What's your stock portfolio look like? Your 401k, your IRA? You worked hard for it. Is there gold or silver in there? Do you have physical gold and silver coins, which will allow you to purchase goods and services, well, forever? Oxford Gold has been helping out my viewers for a very long time. All I get is emails telling me how wonderful they are to work with, how laid back it is. And I'm here to tell you the time to think about making that call, it really needs to be over. You need to make that call. We were heading into some rough times. 833-995-GOLD. Tell them Jesse told you to call. They'll take good care of you. It's really easy. 833-995-GOLD. All right? We'll be back.
It wasn't about the three of these leaders. It was about who they were representing. It's about whose voices they were channeling. Understand that, and is that not what a democracy allows? A democracy says you don't silence the people, you do not stifle the people, you don't turn off their microphones when they are speaking about the importance of life and liberty.
Dome down there in Tennessee auditioning to try to keep being vice president. Joining me now, the great Liz Wheeler of The Liz Wheeler Show. Liz, is her voice getting more annoying or am I just getting older and meaner?
No, for a second there, I thought I was like witnessing a fight at the DMV. What is wrong with this woman? She's not only an embarrassment to our country, you'll notice who she went to visit in Nashville and who she did not visit in Nashville. The two police officers, the heroic police officers who neutralized the Nashville shooter, the transgender Nashville shooter, she did not meet with those police officers. She did not meet with the families of the children, the Christian children who were killed, or the families of the Christian adults who were killed. She didn't say anything about that. She's down there pretending to be outraged because two Democrat lawmakers, actually, the third was not expelled. Two of them were expelled, and they should have been expelled. Jesse, this is actually the kind of based, savage fighting that conservatives and Republicans have been missing for the last half a century. The Republicans in the Tennessee state capitol had every right, indeed every responsibility, to expel these members because they violated permanent rules of the House. They went into the well without being recognized by the speaker. They pulled a bullhorn. Who just carries around a bullhorn in their coat if they weren't premeditating this insurrection that they participated in? It's unreal. They should have been expelled. They were. And I wish the Republicans had held just a little bit stronger. I know one of them has been reinstated. Kamala Harris is a total freak. She's an embarrassment to our nation, and she's ignoring the actual tragedy that's unfolding before our eyes, which is a spate of transgender terrorists who are trying to, quote unquote, overthrow white, straight, quote unquote, cisgender Christians.
Liz, you have a piece in the Washington Times out blaming, in part, queer theory for it. One, what is queer theory? I wasn't in the Air Force. And two, how is it responsible for any of this stuff? Explain.
So we're all pretty familiar at this point with critical race theory, right? This garbage racist stuff that's being taught to our children in school, telling little kids, white kids, that they're racist based on the color of their skin, and black kids, they're oppressed based on the color of their skin. That nonsense, that poison, the ideological underpinning is the neo-Marxist theory, critical race theory. Well, likewise with queer theory, the transgender ideology that we are familiar with, you know, telling kids that they can identify however they want, that gender is not binary, it's on a spectrum, that you can be what a boy can be a girl if he wants to be a girl and vice versa. That is the outgrowth of queer theory. Queer theory is the ideological underpinning of the transgenderism that's being taught to our children in school that we're seeing everywhere on TikTok, in classrooms, you know, now in these mass shootings or attempted mass shootings. Queer theory, like critical race theory, is a neo-Marxist theory. Its goal is to destroy Western civilization. And the way that it does this, it employs a Marxist dialectic. A dialectic is two opposing ideas or factions and that need to come together for some sort of reconciliation. But not reconciliation, Jesse, the way that you and I would understand it. So with critical race theory, they pose black people against white people. And that's the dialectic. Their solution to marrying those two things is Marxist revolution. Well, in queer theory, they label LGBTQ people as marginalized and oppressed, so marginalized and so oppressed that they are at risk of being the target of genocide. That's what young queer kids are told. And the oppressors in this scenario, in this Marxist dialectic, are supposed to be these straight, white, cis, quote unquote, cisgender Christians who are oppressing queer people to the point where their only recourse is to actually be violent, is to overthrow these people, is to spark a revolution. Queer theory is, at its core, a violent revolutionary ideology, and these children who are suffering gender disorders, who are suffering mental illness, they're the pawns of the queer theorists. They're not only being butchered in mind, body, and spirit, they are being sacrificed like kamikazes, like suicide bombers, in pursuit of a Marxist America.
Golly. All right, you know, I have a bunch of stuff I want to get to. We could spend all day on that, Liz. But Liz, as much as it pains me to say it, Gavin Newsom's out there. He's very clearly prepping for a presidential run if it comes. Here was him with Jen Psaki.
They don't care about our kids, because if they did, they'd ban these damn weapons of war. They would have background checks. They require some common damn sense. They don't. So you know what, those kids that were there in the Capitol, God bless every single one of them.
Liz, I'm more worried about Gavin Newsom than I feel like everyone else is. I feel like that guy has a very good shot at being president of the United States of America.
Gosh, I love Gavin Newsom. I absolutely love the guy because he doesn't even believe himself. When you hear him sitting there, he not only looks the role of a villain, like who combs their hair back all from one point like that and slicks it down so that it's moving as a unit. He looks the part of a villain and he doesn't believe a word that he's saying. He doesn't believe it. He's not like Kamala Harris, who actually is like a Marxist. It's not like AOC, who actually is a communist, and they believe the absolute nonsense that they're saying. Gavin Newsom knows that he's a liar. Gavin Newsom knows that what he's saying won't come true. He knows that the problem that we're facing with these mass shootings is based on queer theory indoctrination. It's not based on guns. I agree with you, by the way, when you said that Gavin Newsom is much more dangerous than Joe Biden, and he absolutely wants to run for president. He's going to run for president in 2024. I've been saying this for over a year now. And Republicans, all you have to do is look at what has happened in the state of California. If Republicans cannot put together a cultural onslaught and political onslaught, advertising, everything that has to do with politics, political messaging system, based on the failures of Gavin Newsom in California, then, Jesse, we deserve to lose.
Yeah, that's probably true. All right, Liz, I'm going to go a different route here because I had a video of Lizzo dancing. But someone put, I'm not going to go into the details of it. Lizzo put a picture up of herself basically naked, and it showed up on my social media yesterday, and I don't think I'll ever recover. I didn't sleep last night thinking about that. So I'm not going to play this for the viewers. They don't need to see what I had to see. But I do view Lizzo and her celebration of being morbidly obese as really just, it's a symptom of a much larger disease in this country where nothing matters. Merit doesn't matter. There's no smart, there's no stupid, there's no skinny, there's no fat, there's no, you're just whatever, you can be whatever, and I think it's killing young people in this country.
I'm sorry, are you blushing talking about Lizzo's dance video? Because your face is getting red talking about this obese woman dancing around, scantily clad, disgusting, Jesse. What's happening with Lizzo is not just objectively gross. It, of course, is. I've seen the video as well, and I do actually encourage your viewers to go watch it. It's disgusting, but it's important to understand what the left is doing when they're trying to obstruct objective reality. You and I know, and everyone watching this program knows, that being morbidly obese poses problems for your health. It's unhealthy to be morbidly obese. You're going to get heart disease. You're going to get diabetes. You're going to die decades earlier than if you keep your body healthy. You have a choice to be obese if you want to be obese. You can. I'm not. It doesn't take away from your dignity and value as a human being. But objectively, it is unhealthy to be obese. What the left is doing is not just trying to redefine words like marriage and man and woman. They are trying to redefine reality. They are trying to become the absolute ultimate arbiters of truth, where we can look at something that we know is what it is. We can look at Lizzo and be like, well, that's a fat girl and she's very unhealthy. She's morbidly obese. And they're telling us not to believe our own eyes. They are trying to train us so that when we look at the sky and we see it's blue, they're like, nope, it's not blue, actually. It's green. You're seeing something just based on your own biases, just based on your own bigotry, just based on your own hatred. And just people that do this, politicians that do this, governments that do this because they want to be tyrants. They want to be authoritarians. They want to be communist dictators. Lizzo is sort of a humorous, very disgusting example of just the lengths that the left is willing to go to try to force us to admit that there is no such thing as reality. I refuse to do it.
Ugh, I need to get these images out of my head, Liz. Liz Wheeler, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right. Sarah Gonzalez and CJ are joining us next. New country song out there. What? We'll explain in a moment. Before we get to that, let's do this really quickly here. What does it mean to remember and honor? Like veterans. Talk about this all the time. We honor the veterans. You put your hand over your heart when the flag waves and you look down at those veterans holding that flag on the field. It makes you feel good. When you hear about someone's service for their country, sacrificing life, limb for their country, you respect that person. I respect that person, of course. But they need more. They need more than that. And I'm not saying they need an extra attaboy from you. Lots of times these guys, because they are human, remember, they need help. When you come home, even if you're physically whole, you're not mentally whole. I told you before, I don't hide it. I was not right when I got home from Iraq. I was a very angry, violent person, and I needed help, and there wasn't help. Boulder Crest is that help. When you go to bouldercrest.org, what you'll see is an organization that takes these guys in and patches them back together. Not handing them a bottle of pills, patching them back together so they can go on and be husbands and fathers and citizens and everything they should be, all right? Go to bouldercrest.org, give what you can today. They can only do this with your support. Bouldercrest.org. We'll be back. I recognize the third woman in that video, too. But joining me now, the two real ones, Sarah Gonzalez, host of The News and Why It Matters, and CJ Engelstad, owner of Real Woman's Club. CJ, let's start with you. Why would you ever do anything with Chad Prather? Ugh.
He's a good-looking woman, isn't he?
He is. That's
no.
Perfect for him.
You should keep the dresses.
All right. What prompted all this? Seriously, CJ, what prompted all this?
You know, we wanted to use this song to challenge culture. So we basically started a band and an apparel line. And we want to ultimately turn it into a movement. Like, we want to challenge culture. Everything is backwards nowadays. And feminists have fought for years for women's rights. And they've completely abandoned their pink pussy hats for wiener hats now. So somebody has got to actually fight for real women. So me and Sarah are doing that with Real Women's Club. And our medium is music.
Sarah, actually, well, I'm going to play you a video that I know you've seen probably a thousand times. It was a bit of a bummer for me, but you're really good at this culture stuff. Here was Maren Morris at the Country Music or CMT Awards.
And yes, I introduced my son to some drag queens today, so Tennessee, f***ing arrest me.
Wait, not CMT Awards, some jerkwater concert that I'm never going to go to. But Sarah, that's country music. CMT Awards doing drag shows, Maren Morris pushing tranny stuff. So we don't even have NASCAR, we don't have NHL, we don't have country music. I don't know if we ever had Bud Light. But why do these organizations that have a different target demo do this constantly in this country? Is this not bad for business?
Yeah, I mean, of course it's bad for business. And I think that, you know, Bud Light is starting to see the end result of that. But, you know, it is one of the main reasons why CJ and I decided to come together and form Real Women's Club and start trying to challenge culture, because there are so many consumers who are just, they don't want to watch that garbage. They don't want to watch, you know, a country music singer prance on stage with a bunch of grown men dressed like women. We want actual women to get those opportunities that are being stolen from us. And so, you know, that's part of the reason that we decided enough is enough. We're going to come together, because as you mentioned, if the woke activists can take things like Bud Light, if they can take things like NASCAR, if they can take things like country music, which used to be the epitome of conservative, you know, red states, if they can take and infiltrate all of those places, they can take it all. And unless we start fighting back, unless we start, you know, creating our own mediums where we are pushing back on that and we are giving people an alternative, they're going to take a hold and they're going to destroy the whole country.
CJ, I like that you're creating new content. And while I'm not an artistic person myself, I don't have any of that ability at all, I do recognize how important it is for a culture. We have dismissed on the right forever Hollywood and music and, it doesn't matter. That's not really important. But those things are critically important for a culture, are they not?
Yeah, and you know, the consumers are wanting people that represent their values, where they can put their money. And it's kind of funny, I want to add in on the country music thing. Women in country music have fought just the same as feminists and abandoned it. They have fought for equal time on the radio, equal spotlight on the stage. And what do? The moment they get up on the stage, they hand it over to a man. And I'm the most pro-man person, but come on, let us have our moment. Freaking nuts to me.
Sarah, there is some good news out there on the culture front, is there not? Courtesy of you, what's the good news?
Yeah, well, we just recently, there was a drag show for kids, which we all know doesn't exist, but the left seems to want to throw their kids into the mix here. So we busted a drag show for kids over in Fort Worth. Again, these red places where you would not think that they're happening, ladies and gentlemen. And so we exposed it. We had some undercover citizen journalists go in there, get the footage, expose it. And I am very happy to announce that once their landlords found out that that was what they were doing in the venue, their landlords decided, if you pull this again, you will be kicked to the curb. So unfortunately for Tulips in Fort Worth, they will no longer be able to host these drag queen brunches or shows for children. But it just goes to show you, that is why we're doing what we're doing, because we have to get the message out there. We have to get the word out there. We have to keep telling people that things like gender mutilation surgery is actually happening on children. The left keeps saying it's not happening to children. It is. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why we're exposing it, because the more that we can expose it, the more that we can get all of this darkness seen by more and more people, the more people are going, you know what, we're not doing this anymore.
Yeah, let's keep bringing it into the light. Sarah, CJ, go get them, ladies. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, we're not done yet. Talk a little bit more culture, but you really want to stick around for our Light in the Mood at the end of the show tonight. Before we get to any of that, let's get to this. You know, I had to take Fred, I had to take the dog to the groomer today, and he's just a mess. Every time he's in an uncontrolled environment, he's just a mess. And because he has so much anxiety, he used to have serious digestive problems after every meal. You know how annoying that was, cleaning that up? Thanks to Rough Greens, he doesn't do that anymore. The anxiety remains, but he's a healthy dog. Your dog needs nutrition. He's not getting it from his food. Dog food is dead food. He's not getting it from his food. Rough Greens is a nutritional supplement, all natural. You pour it on your dog's food. You will see such a difference in your dog. The coat, the digestive problems, the hyperactive. You want to add years to your dog's life? The joints, what happens to you when you finally get nutrition in your body when you didn't have it? Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. Free jumpstart trial bag, all right? roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back. We talk about abortion on this show. Why? It's important. Innocent life. Protecting it, stopping people from hurting them is important. It's not some weird side issue. We're never gonna stop talking about it. And I know you've seen polling and you've seen races that we may have lost because the candidates are speaking in other ways about abortion. And let me be clear about this. We can adjust how we speak about it. We're not sacrificing anything for these people. We're not compromising with protecting life. Joining me now, president of the American Principles Project, my friend Terry Schilling. Terry, okay, first, can you explain why abortion is helping Democrats win elections? I'm not naive. I know it is. Why?
Well, it's very simple, Jesse. It's because Republicans refuse to fight on this issue. They allow themselves to get branded by the Democrats as a party that supports banning all abortions without any exceptions. Democrats in the 2022 midterm elections spent almost $500 million attacking their Republican counterparts as being extreme on abortion. And Republicans on the Republican side, not even Republicans, spent around $50 million, right? So you're getting outspent 10-1 and you're being branded as the extreme party. And it's very obvious. The Republican Party going forward needs to engage on this issue or they will continue to be branded as the extremists. The reality is that only 10 to 12% of them actually support the Democrats' agenda of fully unrestricted access to abortion up until the moment of birth and even after without any protections for the unborn child. It's a very unpopular position. If the Republican Party just dug in and the candidates actually fought on it, we'd win a lot more elections.
Okay, well, when you say aren't messaging right or aren't fighting back right, how are they supposed to fight back when they're outspent 10-1? What should they be doing differently? I know they should be doing different things, but what?
Well, the standard GOP playbook on the abortion issue is when you get accused of being an extremist is to immediately pivot to where you're more comfortable, talking about inflation, talking about crime. You have to address these claims head on, and you have to do it even outside of the debate trail and the campaign trail. You have to do it on TV. You have to run campaign ads, making sure that voters get your message, because newsflash, the mainstream media is not your friend. They are your enemy, and they are going to do everything in their power to make sure that you are branded as the extremist on these issues so that they can take back power. You have to deliver your message directly to voters through digital advertising, through campaign ads on TV, and through text messaging. It's never been easier or more affordable to actually contact voters and make sure they get your message. And so the excuses here are really slim and unconvincing.
Terry, why do Democrats love abortion so much? Because they very clearly do. I mean, even Obama would campaign on, well, we don't want a bunch of them. Well, we'll try to reduce the number of them. You don't hear that anymore at all. Now it's kill them all, kill them after they're born. We love it. Why'd that shift in such a horrible way so quickly?
Well, I think the biggest problem plaguing the Democratic Party, and this is across the spectrum, it ranges from abortion all the way to the LGBT movement and education. The problem is they're a party of narcissism, right? This is a party that believes that we are all our own gods, that we have the power to control our destiny, even if it means killing our own children, even if it means chopping off our children's body parts. This is their goal. They want to become their own gods, and nothing should be able to stop them. And so because of that, abortion is central to their narcissism and their quest to become their own gods. If women actually have to carry their babies to term for 9 months in the womb, that really hinders their ability to become their own gods. And so it really stems throughout the entire political issue spectrum for the Democratic Party. It's really just a party of narcissists who want to be their own gods. And we really need to expose that, right? Because at the same time, Democrats will argue that I have an obligation to a complete stranger to pay for their college education, to pay for their clothing, their shelter, their housing, and everything. But a mother and a father don't owe even a minimum of 9 months in the womb to their unborn child. It's absolutely crazy, and it's backwards. If a mother doesn't own, a mother and father don't owe their child in the womb 9 months at least, then I don't owe strangers jack. That's for sure.
Let's talk about the rhetoric and stochastic terrorism. Corinne Diversity Hire has been out there consistently ever since some trainee nut job walked into a Christian school and massacred a bunch of Christians because they were Christians. The Biden administration has been rallying around the trans community.
LGBTQI plus kids are resilient. They are fierce. They fight back. They're not going anywhere. And we have their back. This administration has their back.
Terry, it's very obvious to me what's happening in this country. It's very obvious there is a war on the right, and then that war is really focused, a lot of it, on the church itself, which the state views as a power structure it has to destroy. My question is, why can't more people see this? It's right out in front of their faces.
I think they are starting to see it, Jesse. And frankly, I think that the American people are disgusted by it. When you have people like Bill Maher even, you know, hosting entire panels on this issue, pointing out that this is probably a mental illness, we're making huge progress. And to be clear, this is a mental illness. And I think that that's the only real silver lining here. With that travesty, that horrific shooting that the trans shooter did inflicted upon those poor Christian kids and teachers, is we now can openly, unapologetically call this what it is. It's a mental illness, and Democrats are complicit in all of the bloodshed, both in terms of the suicides and the self-harm by these mentally ill people, because they're not giving them the help that they need. They're giving them the help that no one asked for, that even an insane person wouldn't come up with if they were just given a blank slate on how to help these people. And it's also now causing bloodshed among innocent people that had nothing to do with it. It's totally disastrous. And this is all at the foot in the hands of the Democratic Party, Big Pharma, our healthcare system that's making these people even more sick. It's disgusting, and I'm just glad that we now have the opportunity to be even bolder and make this case clearly that these are mentally ill people that need actual help and treatment and not affirmation in their mental illness.
Can we fix this country?
Yes, so we always can. Look, I don't think it's been as dark as it is right now, but there's always reason for hope. And, you know, there's this simple formula, and it's been repeated. I don't even know who attributed it. I think it's been attributed to Gandhi, right? But, first they ignore you, then they mock you, then they fight you, and then they win, and then you win. And what we're seeing now is they're finally starting to fight us. So much of this trans fight and the critical theory fight was being snuck through, and COVID opened our eyes to all of it. And so now what we're witnessing, and why it's so depressing, is because there's actually a fight going on. When before there was this fake peace, this fake treaty, that was going on, and we weren't fighting it. So now it feels kind of gross and tough because we're actually in the middle of a war and we're fighting back. But there's so much reason to hope for it. We got 20 states, right, that have protected women's sports. 14 states are now banning the gender modification and hormone surgeries for kids. And we're going to be even more. Now the fight's even spilling into banning porn for kids online. So there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. We can always change things. You are the people, are the heroes that the founding fathers were counting on to save this country. And so anytime you get depressed, just strap in online, sign up to volunteer on one of our these pro-family groups and help fight back and get involved in the legislation.
Well, I love that. We are the ones who can save it. Terry, my brother, be good. Come back soon.
Thanks, Jesse.
What he said there at the end, you know that I do that a lot. Because I'll have days every now and then, I'm sure you do too, where you look at some horrific news story in the morning and you think, oh gosh, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. Remember, you're the good guy. They're the bad guy. Good guy doesn't quit. Take a day off and get back in it, all right? All right, that's enough of that. You know what you need? You need two things in your life. You need to laugh. That's why we're going to do Lighten the Mood next. And you need more testosterone. That's why you're so tired. Your T levels are down. It's not your fault. You should know it's in your water. get this, it's not only in the water, it's in the plastic. So I'm just drinking estrogen right here. There's estrogen everywhere. We shower in it now. Testosterone levels in this society are free-falling, and men don't know what to do about it. Well, you don't need big pharma. You need natural herbal supplements. I, every single day, take a male vitality stack from Chalk just to make sure mine never drop. Ladies, you want to feel more energetic? There's a female vitality stack. But let's say neither of those things are your thing. They have endless natural herbal supplements at Chalk. Go get a subscription, because subscriptions are 35% off the lifetime of the subscription with the promo code Jesse. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Make sure we have the energy for the fight, all right? We'll be back. I don't know if Joe Biden's record for being part of Lighten the Mood, I don't know if it will ever be broken. Lord willing, we're still bringing you I'm Right 10 years from now. When I'm completely bald and all gray and everything else, we're still here having fun on I'm Right, talking about the stories of the day. And politicians will come and go. I don't know that anybody will qualify for as many Lighten the Moods as Joe Biden does. And before we get to Joe, let's do this really quickly. Spring is here. Pollen season is here. Everyone's complaining about it in my area. My allergies, my eyes, my nose, it's terrible. So I get it. I suffered for years and years and years. I don't suffer anymore. No, I didn't find some hot new medication. In fact, I don't even own allergy medication anymore, because I discovered Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier ever. No filter to replace. It's not some big tower that sits in your... It's just this little black box that goes right in the outlet in the wall, and you will taste the difference in your air. Your air is cleaned constantly. Viruses, mold, gone. My allergies are gone. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Code Jesse gets you $200 off a three-pack. They have three packs of these things now. I have six of them. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse, all right? Now, Joe Biden was asked about running in 2024. It went well.
Are you saying that you would be taking part in our upcoming election in 2024?
Well, I'll either be rolling an egg or, you know, being the guy who's pushing them out.
Come on, help him, help.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast's like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.